Good evening and welcome to the latest episode of the Magicast. I'm your host, Scott Monroe, and we are recording a day after Roma won Genoa 0 and Roma ending their home season with a 1-0 win over Alberto Gilardino's Genoa side, thanks to a goal from Romelu Lukaku, and also thanks to Denzel Dumfries for scoring a late goal for Inter at home to Lazio, which means that Roma are pretty much in pole position to hit sixth place. And if Atalanta win the Europa League on Wednesday and manage to stay in fifth place in the Serie A standings, that means sixth place goes to Roma. Enough with me waffling on. With me this evening is Joey. How are you?
I'm great, Scott. As I mentioned pre-pod, holiday today for me here, 28 degrees, had a wonderful weekend hiking on Saturday and Sunday, relaxed, watched the game that we'll get into and the Lukaku goal and cementing Roma in sixth place. So I can't complain. How are you doing?
I'm all good. I went to watch the cricket in London. I went to watch Surrey Worcestershire day two. Enjoyed the sunshine at the Oval in Kensington. The downside was, as me being a Swindon fan, our local rivals Oxford were playing at Wembley, and at the playoffs to get into the championship, they beat Bolton. So on my train home, there were some Oxford fans on my train home, which was not great, but it was a quieter train home. I had problems with the London Underground, as I do at Kensington. I think, sadly, someone jumped on the track on Saturday evening, which is not good. There were some track problems. So I had to catch the London Overground from Vauxhall, which is literally a 5-10 minute walk from the cricket stadium, to Waterloo and Abersong, and then catch the tube from Waterloo to Paddington, which is about 15 minutes. Got myself a nice Burger King. My train was delayed on the way home. I got back at a reasonable, decent time, but watched some cricket, enjoyed the sun, did almost 14 and a bit thousand steps. So it wasn't as much as you, which when you sent me how many steps you did, I did enough, but not as much as you.
It was just because of a hike, Scott. We have a famous mountain here where you can overlook the city. So I went with a friend of mine who's in town, actually from Italy. She lives in Rome. Funny enough, not a Roma fan though. It's a lot of steps to get up and down. So yeah, it quickly equaled to like over 27,000 about. Oh. But it's still a lot, Scott. Doing 14, 15. I mean, on a daily. It's still hard to reach as a daily, you know, being consistent with it. So it's still a lot. It's good to do that. It's good for the body.
Let's just say my feet and my legs were a bit sore yesterday. Me and my mum went out for a walk and had something to eat. And I think I did like 4,500 steps yesterday, which is still not too bad. But my feet were, let's just say, they were sore. I didn't go out for a walk today. But the weather's been nice over here in the UK in the last few days, even though we are down to get rain. Enough of the weather chat. At least it's not food. I did mention Burger King. Burger King was nice on Saturday.
We will do a food podcast. It's going to happen.
We will do. We'll do. I think we'll probably will wrap up with a food podcast at the end of the season. I think that's pretty much destined and it's written in the stars. Should we talk about Roma's 1-0 win yesterday to end the home season against a very good Genoa side? I was very impressed. It did take Roma probably up until the second half to stamp their authority in the game. What were your thoughts on yesterday's performance?
I don't think Roma played well for most part of the match. I mean, they were resorting themselves to taking long range effort, which kept flying over the stands. I actually, Scott, I sent a message to Rosa, a joke. She's been on the pod. I'm sure people have heard her before. I asked her if she caught any of those balls that went into the stands, because Roma just kept firing shots from long range and just kept missing wide and over the bar, and it kept going like in the stands every single time. It wasn't a great first half. The team definitely looks out of energy. Luckily, Genoa had nothing to play for. And second half, I still found it was more of the same. And obviously, De Rossi was getting a little desperate, so he made those changes, brought on Dybala, and then we have that sending off, which I still do not understand. I mean, I understand giving a yellow for a protest, but to give that straight red just doesn't make any sense to me. And yeah, I mean, Roma, you know what? Maybe Perez kind of did Roma a favor. They actually reacted after they went down to 10. They reacted pretty well. I mean, they had opportunities, and then they got the decisive Lukaku goal, which was shocking in itself, because Lukaku usually doesn't come up in big moments. And I don't think it was the biggest moment of the season, but I do think, you know, it's big enough where you're solidifying six. It's at least Europa League. It's that small miracle chance in the Champions League. And yeah, he came up big, and Roma come up with the victory. Scott, it's, you know, this is the first time since 2019, you're talking 5 years, that Roma finish above Lazio. So although De Rossi did super well. Let's take into account that he would have ended with an average of 76 points. Even with this current slide, he would have finished with 76 points. Or let's say 73, even if he would have lost, if he started the season. Well, I'm just talking statistically. And we had a pretty rough stretch where we didn't win much. That's still Champions League football. He played it at that level with a team that might not be, you know, good enough to make Champions League, to be quite honest, because it's been 3 years that Roma have been finishing sixth. And I think it's also the first time that Roma have a game left to play without playing for anything. They actually gave themselves a little room to breathe. I mean, every year, starting from the last Fonseca year, we always have to play the last game to make sure that we're either in Europa League or we're finishing a spot. So it's nice to see that they have a bit of room. You know, they can just rest, and whatever happens next week against Empoli, who needs a win to stay up, they will go all out. But it's nice to see. But yeah, getting back to the game, they reacted after that, and Lukaku scored that goal. I know Dybala wasn't too happy with the substitution, and we'll talk, you know, more news that came out today. But decisive enough, at least we're back in Europa League. And I mean, I still have hope with De Rossi with his interview. I'm ranting a little too much, so I'll let you talk about the game, and then we'll get to what De Rossi says. But overall, I mean, they reacted well, and thank God, because the refereeing was kind of shit. And yeah, they got the decisive win, and they stay above Lazio, and they stay in sixth.
No, I was going to say keep going, because I was looking at the Serie A tables from the last two seasons, and Rome with it having equaled the points tally from the last two seasons with 63 points. So they have the opportunity to get more points against Empoli, who it now is a three-horse race for the final relegation spot, after Hellas Verona won away at Salernitana and Cagliari won away at Sassuolo, which a game I watched and I wrote about Sassuolo during the week. I think there's going to be something to play for next week for Roma, as long as because Joey Lazio are at home to Sassuolo, so that could be interesting. I do echo your thoughts on the first half. I wondered if the tactic was to shoot on site because of the Genoa goalkeeper Martinez, who was very good at with the ball at his feet. I don't know if he's a good shot stopper, so I wonder if the tactic was to shoot on goal. But technically, I think five or six could have been rugby conversions from Paredes, Cristante, and Pellegrini. I do think,
or in the US, might... Scott, in North America, there would be field goals for us in football, yeah, American football. Yeah.
Yeah, wouldn't they be the kicker that does it?
Yeah, they would be. Yeah, they'd be the kicker that shoots, you know, the football that goes in between the foul, no, the poles, essentially, and it's just very high and very, 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 very long and high. So yeah, it's essentially the same thing as when you kick it in rugby.
Yeah, I don't follow rugby either. So I just know that. But I know because Italy play their games at the Stadio Olimpico. So I felt Genoa were probably the better team for about 20, 25 minutes. And Roma were also assertive for about 20 minutes. There was a bit of play-by-play, chess drawn out. Second half, I think Roma started on the front foot. And then after the red card and after Lukaku's goal, and as Diego Llorente said, they played with 12 men. And because of the crowd was with them at all times, I think they helped at the end. And Roma went into this shape at the end where I don't think Genoa really cut Roma apart after the sending off and going down to Lukaku's goal. They didn't really have any opportunities. There was the shot right near the end by Torsby. I think that was it.
No, there was the one I was going to mention was the one of Malinowski, which...
Malinowski, that's the one. So it's two opportunities. There was the Torsby...
I thought, Scott, with that Malinowski shot, I thought if Rui Patricio's in nets, I think that goes in. And it's a 1-1 game. Because that was a hell of a shot, and what a save by Sphere again. It saved us.
Do you not want to call him what John calls him?
No. No, because then we're going to sell him, and no. I don't want to get my hopes up.
Pui Ratisio.
Oh, you're talking about... Yes. Sorry, I thought you were mentioning Sviar, but yes, Pui Ratisio would have definitely let that in. Even Scott, we failed to mention the double saves. Although it was offside, he made a ridiculous double save with Ndicka. Oh. Yeah, that's just world class. Like this guy. I don't know how he didn't start earlier, and we gotta chain him down. He's not leaving Rome.
It reminds me of Marish Kumbula's own goal last week.
Ah, oh, poor. Terrible. But you know what, Scott? I'm happy. I want to take the 30 seconds to embrace Sassuolo being relegated. I don't know your feelings about Sassuolo, but I am so happy. They broke Roma's streak with Rudy Garcia. Carnevale never shuts up. Always does these deals with Inter. Always screws Roma over. I'm so happy they were down to Serie B. That's my 30 seconds of just pure joy.
Does that mean Roma could get Lloriente on a discount?
Maybe they can get him on a discount, yes. Because De Rossi, maybe this is a good segue to it. De Rossi, he mentioned something today that I even wrote on X. I pray for times like these where he says Roma lack pace. And they do. They lack, like... Besides just the cutting edge part, they lack actual pace, like athletic. I'm just speaking athletically. And he mentioned a guy like Gervinho. We don't have pace down the wings. We don't have that type of pace. He mentioned also how Frimpong did it for Bayer Leverkusen. So that's where I'm so happy De Rossi's identifying like things we've been missing for years. You need a player or two like that to help you break down, especially the commentator said yesterday, and I fully agree that the Olimpico is a little more of a narrow pitch. So it might be tougher to break down in the middle, which it was yesterday, because also Genoa played very well defensively. So you got to use your wings, but we're just too slow down the wings. Like it's between Dybala, Baldanzi, Celik, Angelino. Like they're not the world beaters in pace. I'm not saying to get Mbappe level speed, but you know, I'm sure you could find
we'll a player Mbappe.
Who... Sorry, Scott? Repeat?
We'll get Mbappe.
Oh, yeah, I'll get Mbappe. But just to say, like, the Llorente-type pace, like, or Gervinho, what De Rossi mentioned in an interview today, we don't have that, and that's what we would need in the market. So I was just glad to hear that stuff from De Rossi, and it gives me hope for the future. And even yesterday, he did not like, not that he didn't like about celebrating, but he didn't totally understand celebrating sixth place. Neither do I. I know they were celebrating because it's the last game, but they celebrating sixth place is not something you should be proud of. It's a disappointing season in the end for De Rossi, no matter what time he came in. So just that mindset, Scott, of you mentioned how it changes, just that mindset that De Rossi has, I'm just really hopeful for the future.
I agree. How much in moments of clutchness has Stefan El-Shaarawy done this season?
Oh, just he's been, I would say, between him and Dybala, but I would say more down into the end moments, El-Shaarawy's been super, super clutch. He's been one of the most, I mean, between him, Sviar, and Dybala, they've all been the most clutch, we can say, down towards the end where you need something to happen. But yeah, he's the definition of Mr. Clutch. Perfect rotational player to have. Perfect guy to, for me, would be a wonderful guy to rotate with another good left winger. He's just been phenomenal. He even mentioned, Scott, that he felt he played a little more than usual this season because maybe he's not used to it anymore. But I think if you bring someone in that can be a solidified starter, then you bring in El-Shaarawy at certain moments and then start him in certain games, I think he'd be even better. So it's been a breath of fresh air to see how he did all season.
I completely agree. Shall we talk now about two Argentines?
Yeah.
The sending off. I want to know what he said, because that was quick. That was very reactive from the referee.
Oh, it certainly was. I don't know what he said, but to me, I still think it's a poor decision. I've seen refs, you know, had way worse, either things being said or just being in their face, and they get a really, really like stern warning with a yellow card. They say you do anything again, you're out. But to give a red that, I think it was a terrible decision. I really think it was. I think that was poor refereeing by Manganiello.
We also got a question from Drunken Trooper. Have you found a lip reader to work out what Paredes said to get two cards in 10 seconds?
Oh, no. But no one has reported what he said at all. I haven't been able to find anything.
By the way, his tweet was liked by 4 spam bot accounts on socials. Oh, but yeah, thanks Mr. Musk for that. Also, Paulo Dybala. I think we probably do now know why he looked, shall we just say, pissed off yesterday. In the photos pre-game, with his 30-minute cameo, and he was taken off right near the end. I pretty much do understand why he was taken off, because Roman wanted to solidify the defence. And to be honest, Christensen did all right when he came on. I know you pretty much counting down the days till he leaves, but
one more week, Scott, till he leaves. One more week.
What? Until Paulo Dybala leaves? Joey, how dare
no,
you?
No, 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 Christensen. Dybala's not leaving. I don't think he's leaving.
Oh, we don't know. We don't know yet, because there is rumours of him maybe going to Saudi in the summer. I think one of the clubs is trying to do an attack with him and Rafa Silva. Both could be getting boatloads of money, but no, who knows? We now know that he's been excluded from the friendly list for Argentina and the Copa America squad.
Yeah, I was quite shocked, to be honest. Maybe there's more to him about his injury. Maybe he can't get to 100%. We know it's clearly not about talent. So, yeah, I was really shocked, Scott. I didn't know if he knew. He probably did, but I didn't know if he knew the information at the time when he played yesterday's game. He likely did, but it just something didn't seem right with him yesterday. And, well, we know the reason now why. A total shock for me, Scott. Did you expect him to be excluded?
There is Well, Argentina do have Julio Alvarez, who's just come off another title win with Manchester City. Crazy. And they have Messi, who is Messi. And he's, well, I don't watch that much MLS. Well, I do have Apple TV on my phone, so I can watch MLS games and highlights, but he's lighting it up in his second, or was it his first full season in America? But I wouldn't have been surprised. It's a tournament. You might need him, but after the season he has had, you would have taken him.
Yeah,
because when he's been fit. Tough. When he's been fit, he's been sensational. He's had a couple of off games against Milan, even though it's for 25 minutes. It was just wonderful. And against Torino, the hat trick. And just remember, he's won 3 Player of the Month awards.
In a 9-month season, he won a third of the Player of the Months, singularly just him. That's insane. And he's finished double-digit goals, assists. I think he's definitely highest Roma goal contributor. I don't know if he scored more than Lukaku, but he certainly scored maybe a little less, but with way more assists. He's even the assist leader in Serie A, along with, I think, Leao. And he just creates so much, does so much for the team. I found it absolutely ludicrous he didn't get called up. But again, we don't know if it's down to injury or fitness. So, but yeah, I think just the season he's had, he should have been there.
Okay, I'm just reading some stuff up on it, and I'm just looking at who's in the squad also, because it's a 29-man team. To be honest, the attack is quite good. Valentin Carboni's in it, and I think he's a player you should watch out for. So the attackers is Carboni, Messi, Angel Correa, Alejandro Garnacho, Nicolas Gonzalez, Lautaro Martinez, and Julian Alvarez.
Do they have Di Maria in the squad, Scott?
Yeah. Di Maria, Lo Celso, Enzo Fernandez, Ezequiel Palacio, Rodrigo De Paul, Alexis McAllister, Leandro Paredes, Guido Rodriguez, Valentin Barco, Nicolas Tagliafico, Marcus Acuna, Lisandro Martinez, Nicolas Otamendi, Lucas Martinez, Quatre, Germán Petzela, Cristian Romero, Leonardo Balerdi, Nahuel Molina, Gonzalo Montiel. Well, the stories about Montiel come out in the UK, so I don't expect him to be in it. Emiliano Martinez, Rulli, and Franco Armani is the 29-man squad. So it's interesting.
It's a talented squad, no doubt, Scott, but I mentioned Di Maria. I don't think he's had near of a good season as Dybala had. I could be wrong, but I didn't hear as much from him as we've seen in Dybala. So, but yeah, I personally think it's down to injuries, and I they do have a talented squad, so they can afford not to have him.
Fair enough. I am reading some Argentina stuff on it, and I think it could be down to a tactical decision, which could be a bit interesting. This is from... this is from ATAQUE Futbolero. I have translated this from Spanish, so thank you, translation from Spanish by Google. Paulo Dybala was left out of the squad list due to a football decision and not a physical decision, confirms Gaston Edul, who works for TYC Sports. Let's remember that he's registered 16 goals and 10 assists in 28 games this season for Roma. So it looks like it's a footballing decision and not a medical decision.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well. And I'm even more perplexed because I don't know how he's then left out.
We move on. So Roma was 6th in Europa League. By the way, Bologna are 2-0 up against Juventus.
Yeah, it's a pretty bad result in Roma's Champions League hopes, but because to the way Juventus Scott has been playing, I can certainly see Atalanta surpassing them.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. It's a slim hope. It is. The kickoff times for next week have come out, and I sent them to you. Let me just get them. I have. When did I send them? Also, my tweet about CM Punk and Paulo Dybala was quite. I thought that earlier. So kickoff times. I had a feeling Roma would be playing on a Sunday, and they are playing on a Sunday, and it's the Sunday evening kickoff because Empoli, Roma, Frosinone, Udinese, Hellas Verona, Inter, and Lazio Sassuolo are the Sunday evening games. So there's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So on Thursday, it's Cagliari, Fiorentina, because Fiorentina have got the Conference League. On the, is it the 29th or the 29th? So they've got 6 days to recover and go to Athens. What did Roma have? Was it five?
When I they think went it was to, five, yeah.
When they went to Tirana. And it was like four for the Europa League final, which, or five, because they played on the Saturday and then the Sunday afterwards. Yeah, so Cagliari Fiorentina on the Thursday, Genoa Bologna on the Friday, both 7:45 kickoff or 8:45. The two Saturday games are Juventus Monza and Milan San Natana, and the 2 6 o'clock kickoffs are Atalanta Torino and Napoli Lecce. You happy with an 8:45 to end the season? Did you expect it to be that? Because it also lays down into the relegation games because of the craziness which happened in Udine yesterday, which I missed because I was out with my mum.
Yeah, I expected something like that because Empoli are battling the relegation battle, so they have certainly something to play for, and they put that whenever there's something to play for, they usually put it at the later kickoffs. So it'll be interesting to see Empoli Roma with Frosinone Udinese, and that will determine if Empoli stays up, because if Empoli beats Roma, they are guaranteed to stay up. They absolutely need a win to stay up. If they draw, then it all depends on Udinese Frosinone. Yeah, if Udinese manage to not beat Frosinone, if Udinese manage to lose against Frosinone, Udinese and Empoli will actually have a relegation game just like it was last year with Spezia and Verona.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, it will be a relegation game. So that all depends if you need Empoli a draw and Udinese a loss for it to happen.
So pretty much it's between Empoli, Udinese, and Frosinone.
That's right. If Empoli win, they automatically stay up because Udinese obviously and Frosinone can't both get maximum points, and then it comes down to their result. Then if Udinese wins, they stay up. If Frosinone wins, they stay up. And if Frosinone tie, they stay up. But if Frosinone tie, they stay up. It's guaranteed. So they need a draw and a win where Udinese, depending on Empoli's result, but for them to be absolutely safe, they need to go for the victory as well. So it's going to be interesting next week. But yeah, the later kickoffs is expected because of what Empoli have to play for.
Yeah, there was a 15th minute, was it, stoppage time, and Udinese scored right near the end, wasn't it?
Yeah, I stepped away for a few minutes, Scott. I come back and I see Samar just scored a penalty. I didn't know what happened. I was like, but it was in like the 100th minute.
Yeah.
Like, what is going on? I thought Empoli did it. They're safe. Yeah, but wow, what a turn of events.
So Mbai Niang scored a 90th minute penalty, and Samardzic scored a 90 plus 14th minute penalty, and Grassi got sent off for Empoli in the 90 plus 15. So it was 105 minutes played yesterday.
That is crazy. That is wild. But that's what you get with relegation games. It's more chaotic than the games at the top.
So there was a stat yesterday. I know this is going off topic and we are talking about Serie A. Lazar Samardzic's goal in the minute of play is 103 minutes and 33 seconds. It's the latest one scored in a Serie A match for over the last 20 seasons since 2004-2005.
Oh, wow.
And Udinese are only one of two teams alongside San Natano who have not won a home game in 2024 in Serie A.
Yeah, Udinese cannot win at home. I understand Salernitana is really terrible, but Udinese cannot win a home game. It is absolutely astonishing how they can't win a game at home.
Yeah, I'm just going to give a shout out to Cagliari. Kudos to Claudio Ranieri. He's done an absolute amazing job. Remember, they were winless, I think, for the first 10 games of the season until that monumental comeback win over Frosinone where they were 3-0 down with 20 minutes to go and won 4-3. I watched them against Sassuolo on Sunday lunchtime and they were outstanding and deserved to win the game 2-0. And they are safe along with Lecce and along with Hellas Verona who won away at San Natana. So it's a three-way. That sounded wrong. Between MP, sorry, it's not PG. It's NSFW. A freeway at the bottom for Serie A to get relegated between Empoli, Udinese, and Frosinone. And Roma could play a part in it.
Who would you like to see relegated, Scott? Out of the three, I'm not saying if you hate a team, but who would you rather see go down?
I don't know. It's too tough to call because there's brothers in arms in Udine after what happened not so long ago, isn't there?
There is. I would have initially said Udine because of what before what happened with Indica, but after that, I got to give them respect. I wanted Frosinone I mean, I'm not always fond of Di Francesco, but we always make jokes about him and his 4-3-3 and the chaotic football he plays. So I kind of want to see that another season. And Empoli, I'll be honest, I just like Tuscany as an area. So I know there's Fiorentina, but because I like Tuscany, I wanted to see Empoli. So really, I didn't want to see any of them go down. I'd rather have seen Hellas Verona go down if it were me. But they're obviously safe. But between three, it's tough to call for myself as well. I don't know. I don't particularly hate any of these clubs.
Well, Udinese's record this season is 5-19-13. So on the draws, they've got like 19 draws this season. And that's the most in Serie A. It's too tough to call, isn't it?
It is. I think Empoli have the toughest run next week. I mean, just statistically playing us. So... But Roma seem to be cooked. I don't even know if they'll care. They might hand them a, that famous saying, biscotti. They might hand biscotti, it to them. They might really hand it to them. So we'll see.
Well, Roma will be out without. We'll do a little preview before we wrap up. So Roma will be without Lukaku because he got booked for taking his shirt off and showing off his abs and the underbody. What's it? It's not a sports bra, which many fans do call it. It's what measures his running stats for the game. So he showed that off and got booked, understandably. No Paredes, suspended. Maybe no Dybala, I don't know.
Likely not. I don't know if I'd see a point of risking him, but we have nothing to play for. They might just give a run out to guys like Zaleski, Baldanzi, and some younger players.
I would love to see João Costa give a run out.
Yeah, that would be nice. I don't want to see Huijsen though, Scott.
You're not. You think he's done?
Yeah, I don't think there's a point. I think De Rossi should really use this game to... He says every game he evaluates players, so he should certainly use his game putting in Huijsen.
Yeah, I think after Udine, he probably lost a little bit of trust.
Oh yeah, that mistake, yes.
So, going into next week, final game of the season, what sort of team do you reckon he should put out?
I think he he has he definitely has some sort of grasp of how certain players are. So those players, you know, while Lukaku's half the team, Scott, is gone, to be quite honest. Like we've been talking about how Roma are freeing up so much money in the transfer market. So I don't think he should play any of those players or the established one that he knows what he's going to get out of them. I really think he needs to give a final run out to guys like Zaleski, João Costa, maybe somebody in the midfield. You know, we saw Pagano a little early, but under De Rossi, we haven't seen him at all. Maybe someone like Pagano or Pizzilli, maybe give a run out to. It's hard for defense. There's no one really like up and coming as center backs besides our established ones. I think Mancini certainly should not play. I just think he should be done with his season. Like he's obviously battered and not healthy right now. He's not 100%. Yeah, I maybe just youngsters in the midfield and the attack, really. And definitely Abraham. Azmoun is not here. The only strikers that we're really going to have next season are the ones, you know, we had from Mourinho's time, which is Abraham, Shomurodov, and Belotti. But two of them are not with us right now. So I think you definitely need to give the start to Abraham and evaluate him even better or see what's going on in the summer. So those are the type of players that should be playing next week.
Yeah, I'm with you. Not a fully rotated team. It is the final game of the season, and there is a result to be played for. De Rossi wants to win and end the season on a high. But yeah, be interested to see what he puts out. You could see a back four, Celik. I would actually keep the back four that he played yesterday, to be honest.
Yeah.
Back five with Svilar in goal. Because I thought, I'll ask this. Angelino signing permanently has to be done. And the new sporting director also is almost done. And there are rumours. There were really strong rumours in the week of Roma overhauling the midfield and adding three new players. Two of them could be on free transfers. So it's Naitan Nandez, whose contract at Cagliari expires this summer and has played really well this season, even though there has been some stories about his off the field problems over the last couple of years. I'm not going to go into it, but there is Google and you can use the Google machine to search. Just thank God Roma are not linked with Mason Greenwood. That is Napoli and Juve. Gaetano Castrovilli, which you were a little bit unsure of?
Yeah, I certainly am. With the two ACL tears, we haven't seen much from him. I'm sort of tired, Scott, of getting those type of players. We know the project's going to change, so I know he's free, Scott, but doesn't always mean it'll work out. We know the risks with him. Just we haven't seen him done anything at Fiorentina. I don't know why we would take a risk on him. I mean, we just had an injury-prone player in Renato Sanchez all year, and that did not work whatsoever. So I would certainly try to look elsewhere. So I'm not a fan of taking Castrovilli, even on a free, because that means salary. It still means salary to a player that you can potentially give to somebody else.
Just to think, in the summer last season, he was bound to join Bournemouth for 10... It was Bournemouth. Yeah, it was Bournemouth for 10 million euros, but failed the medical because of his knee. There is a player there, but I think before his ACL tears, sensational.
For sure.
I think he has been unlucky with injuries. The third player is Kefren Turam, the brother of Marcus Turam. You could see another Turam in Italy. He is the Nice midfielder, and he's got a year left on his deal. And I think there's talks of him.
He's the player I would like leaving. For sure in the midfield.
Yeah.
But I can see him going to Inter, Scott. I don't know why. I can see him going to Inter.
What, to link up with his brother? There was talks of him going to Liverpool, but nah, we'll wait and see. It's silly season, isn't it, Joey? The season has ended and there's the transfer talk already. There is, like, I think Roma probably needs six or seven players. And you're losing seven or eight. I think there will be a big overhaul in the summer, and you just need quality and a bit of depth. De Rossi,
they also want to sell players, Scott. Besides the ones going back on loan, they also want to sell another, at least Karsdorp and Smalling. I'm pretty sure they want to sell among the ones that are going back on loan. But yeah, the structure with it, Scott, is I'm not gonna. Besides maybe a guy like Thuram or someone of really good quality, I'm not gonna be hopeful and praying for this sort of player or that sort of player, because whether we get him or not, it's the structure, because the structure of all these loans certainly do not work. All these players in their 30s, Dybala was 28 at the time, it certainly does not work. So I'm glad no matter who they get that the entire structure is changing, and we have the report of UEFA not breathing down our necks, so they can actually work freely on the market for once. They could go back into financial fair play. It's not that the period is over. Supposedly, they won't have this transfer balance, which they need to make so much to be able to sign players. So they won't have that. It was reported by Il Tempo. So I just want them to be smart with what they do with young players, maybe players they can even help to develop and grow value over time, and just change the entire structure, because no matter what they've done, Scott, they've been finishing 6, 6, 6, and 7. That's 4 straight years. They couldn't even finish fifth. I was saying all year for Italy get the fifth spot Champions League. I mean, they don't deserve Champions League, whether they get it or not through Atalanta, but they couldn't even make fifth. I mean, so something definitely needs to change.
Well, they did get burnt out at the end, the amount of games they were playing.
Right, for sure. But they just, no matter where they do it, I don't know, whether it's one way or another, they just can't seem to get that Champions League football. But we'll see if it changes next season.
Fingers crossed there. A double duplicate. It's going to be interesting to see what the summer brings. That's going to happen, because there are reports that De Rossi's going to sign a new going to pen the 3-year deal that was sort of agreed not so long ago, which is quite good. And then it looks like there should be a stability and the structure around the club in the summer. The type of names that have been linked with Roma does seem interesting. There's probably one or two that may be a bit far-fetched. Chiesa, I don't think so. I think that may be a little bit too far-fetched. The big worry is your captain has only got 1 year left on his deal.
Yeah, he does, but I've never seen anything about him leaving. So I think with De Rossi, I think a lot of the core stays. I'm not overly worried about it.
Yeah, me neither. I think there will be departures. Bloody hell, I can't speak in the last couple of minutes. There will be departures and there will be incomings. I think they have to be smart of what they bring in. It wouldn't surprise me if they look at the free market again. There is some good players with their contracts expiring in the next month or so. The Euros could be a benchmark, and the Copa America. We'll have to wait and see. Before we wrap up, Joey.
I was just going to say, Scott, they just have to be smart. Sorry. Napoli, the year they signed Kvaratskhelia, Kimpembe, I know they already had Osimhen and they paid a lot of money, but that market that they had was, everyone hailed Giuntoli as such a brilliant market, and they didn't overspend. Like, I think Roma can spend that money. The way the rumors, the reports are, I think Roma can spend that type of money in the summer. They just really need to be smart of who they're getting. Not saying it's very hard to find a Kvaratskhelia for 10 million. I understand that, but I'm seeing that entire market with Anguissa, Kvaratskhelia, Kimpembe. I'm certainly missing a player or two, like Raspadori, I think, came that summer as well.
Yeah, he came on loan.
Yeah. Roma, first of all, they are getting money from Fratesi. It's coming in this year, so that will certainly help. it's just to say, I think Roma can have that type of market. And look what Napoli did that season, where they won the Scudetto. Or even look at, honestly, even look at, Scott, look at Inter's market. They have a lot of financial issues with Sunning, and there's this whole talk about Oaktree taking back over because they couldn't pay their loans. But look, they got Thuram on a free. They got Fratesi in a really good deal, although money is coming to us. Not saying it was a complete Channel protagonist. Who?
They got Hakan Çalhanoğlu on a free transfer as well.
They got Pavard for not like, you know, a ridiculous amount of money. It's pretty fair in this market nowadays. So there are areas where we just need the right people to find a structure. It's like the current team is just broken in a way where it doesn't all, let's say, sync together. They don't jive together. It's like fitting square pegs and round holes type thing. It just seems to be broken, where you have certain players can do certain things and then certain players can do another. And then you have a coach that wants certain thing. It's just not there yet. But that's why I hope with De Rossi and the new sporting director, Gisolfi, I hope I'm saying it correctly, from Nice, that is confirmed coming.
You do speak French, Joey.
Gisolfi, you can say Gisolfi. Gisolfi. Yeah, so he's coming in. So we'll see what he can do. He's done some really good work at Lens, if you would say it, in Nice. He's done really good deals there. So hopefully him and De Rossi can restructure this team properly.
Yeah, I completely agree. Before we wrap up, Joey, because we've gone over 45 minutes, do you have anything else to add?
Yes, enlighten, be very quick, Scott, enlighten of this 2-0 score with Bologna. So this puts Juve in a really bad spot for Roma. I'll end this off. It will be a perfect podcast ending and a Roma ending. I can see this would be a Roma ending. Atalanta win the Europa League, but then surpass Juventus to be fourth, denying Roma of Champions League football. That would be the most Roma ending ever. And I can totally see that happening.
We'll end it on that positive note. it'd be the most Roma thing and the most Serie A thing. Yeah, Juve are struggling at the moment. Well, they did sack Allegri, and the Uruguayan defender who used to play for Juventus, Paolo Montero, is in charge. So, yeah. Joey, I think that's pretty much it. Guys, you can follow us at lemagicast.com, and you'll find all our previous episodes on the website. And you can follow us on all podcast platforms, Apple, Spotify, Podbean, etc., etc. We'll be back next week for probably about 2, maybe 3 pods in the next couple of weeks. For the final time this season, we'll be reviewing a game next week, which will be the final games of the season against Empoli. It's a bank holiday in a month. Next Monday, so it could come out anytime next week. We'll record anytime. Then we'll probably do a season review and etc. etc. And as Joey said, we'll probably do a food pod.
Yes, we should.
We have members
all over the world, so we can talk about different foods, different cuisines. I would love it.
Yeah, so would I. But Joey, thank you very much for joining me on this Monday evening. For me, and Monday late afternoon for you.
Thanks as always, Scott. It was great. It was great talking. You know, still an important win, sealing 6th place, being above Lazio at least. So it was great discussing that with you today.
Thank you. It means a lot. We'll be back next week. Enjoy the rest of your week, because the football season's pretty much done and dusted in other leagues. We'll be back next Monday. We'll speak soon. Ciao, ciao.
Ciao.